Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune. And before Greg and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage.
Let's take a quick look back at that Boonville game. 64-38 win. When you had a chance to look on film, what were a few things that jumped out about you with that rematch?
Intensity and passion. I hadn't seen us play with that much intensity and passion all year, and it looked like what we were expecting these guys to grow into. I will say we played a perfect game. There is no way of that, with neither offense, defense, or special teams. But I thought our enthusiasm, our passion for the game was there the whole game. And that, when you can win a lot like that, we really attacked on defense. Everybody looks and goes, well, you gave up 38. I don't know if you've seen that team, but they got some dudes. And second, we did. We caused three turnovers, and we caused them. It wasn't, you know, a lack of anything. It was caused three turnovers, and all three of them directly related to scores. Well, when you start doing stuff like that, even though you may give them some points, that's turning the field in your direction, and all three of them did. And that's what we saw most on film. I don't think we played our best offensive game. I know people are going to look and go, 64 points? You didn't put? No, we did play our best offensive game. This week has been much better practice. I think our offense kind of took a little bit that, hey, the defense kind of carried this last week. We want to do our part too. So, it's going to be interesting to see how we perform Friday night. But I that's what I thought of practice.
When you take a look back, and you mentioned the turnovers, did you feel like the points off turnovers, the 21-0, probably played one of the biggest roles in the game?
Oh, I was not even a question. I think the first one really did. Mm-hmm. That going up by two scores, we had gone up by one, but then to turn around and get a turnover and go right back down and score and go up by two scores. We talked about this, and this has been a mindset that changed about week five or six, and it's not something that I'm a proponent of, but it's what we have to deal with this year. We get up, we're going to score, and we're going to keep scoring, and you're going to try to keep up with us. And I think teams have realized that now, and what we saw Friday night is – they weren't comfortable doing that. Most high school teams aren't comfortable having to try to score every time. And so what you do is you start grasping, you make some mistakes, and they made some more mistakes, which led to more points for us.
What did you think overall the way the team finished, too? I know they got the touchdown in the first play of the third quarter, but they only had one touchdown the rest of the way. And again, there were a couple of turnovers that led to touchdowns, but the offense also, you know, We talked after the game about the first team to blink was going to be at a huge disadvantage, and I know they've got a few stops late in the fourth quarter to keep it a two-possession game, but I really thought that offensively you all did what you had to do to keep them out of arm's reach.
Well, let's go first with the second half. Giving up that first score, that really alarmed me because it gave them all the momentum. Then we turned around and went three and out. But then we probably had a season-altering possession on defense. Mm-hmm. Well, we came out and forced them to punt the football deep in their own end zone area and then got it turned around and went back down and scored and made it a two-possession game again. That was probably as big a statement as we could make at this point during the season with our defense. And I think that was really a big situation. But then the offense went back out and said, we went three and out. That ain't happened again. And just went down and made a very, very nice drive. But then in the fourth quarter, I thought they started to make some mistakes because they're trying to make up. But I also think they're playing a lot of guys both ways. They got really tired. And as the game wore on, it seemed like we got passion grew for us and that enthusiasm. And we started really getting after in the fourth quarter. And that's when you saw the explosion of points in the fourth quarter just from the amount of – I think they wore out and we weren't.
Okay. Taking a look at – now we're looking at the district championship matchup with Mexico. Offensively, does this team like to run the ball or does it pass the ball?
86% run. I think they like to run it, and they run it extremely well. They run a very complex offense. The flex bone, I'm thankful that I got to grow up in this type of offense and know the dynamics of it, but, boy, stopping it's another issue. They have a four-person attack with it. It starts with their quarterback, who are unbelievably efficient at running their offense, can run the football. Then they have their fullback. He's really good up the middle. That's where you really want to get your yardage. You want to get your man yardage, what we used to call when I was in that offense. The man's got to be the fullback because he's got to carry the load, get four and five. Don't worry about getting that extra because then the wings – are the guys that are going to make it work. Once you get everything going inside, then they throw it to those two outside, and woo, are they dynamic and fast.
And, I mean, it's a defense that's going to go out and pitch shutouts, but if you look at a lot of their games, I mean, they've done a pretty good job of holding teams to just a couple of touchdowns.
What they do is they methodically move the ball offensively. They turn around, they get 3-3-5, or 3-5-3. They try to attack you on defense, try to make you make mistakes, try to get you behind the chains, make you do things you don't want to, and then they turn around and just give it their offense and go 4 or 5 a pop. So they really take the possessions out of the game. They really try to slow the day game down. Now, they're going to have explosive plays because of the offense they run, but they're really going to methodically do things, and defensively, they just want to take you out of your game.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage, and before Greg and I start to break things down this week, let's take a moment to thank some of our goal line sponsors this season. We'd like to thank Cole County Industries, Beeline Convenience Stores, Jeff Helscher, Eastern District Commissioner, and Kemna Collision Repair. Well, Greg, the offenses were there and the defense were, you know, kind of there. And at the end of the day, it becomes a really kind of commanding win for Blair Oaks last week. But 64-38, what surprised you most about the either the score, the separation, or the result of that game last week?
The fourth quarter, really. I thought, I mean, again, it's same story where, and I know it's going to sound stupid, but if you watch this team, I know 38 points sounds like a lot, but, I mean, also, what, so it's 5 touchdowns. I mean, Boonville's got a legit offense. They scored 4 or 5 touchdowns against Hallsville, too. I think the difference in this game was, you know, first half, they were matching each other score for score. Second half, Boonville scored very first play, and then they only got one touchdown in the last 23:50. So, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Blair Oaks defense for getting some stops, getting some turnovers. I mean, they won the turnover battle, and they scored a touchdown off every turnover, whereas Blair Oaks' one turnover came with 2 seconds left in the half, so Boonville couldn't do much with that. I just thought Blair Oaks did a great job of finishing that game with a flourish, you know, getting a fumble return for a touchdown right at the very end. I thought you can point to so many turning points. You know, in the first half, Colby Caton got stopped on 4th and 1. Like, I think it was a 4th and 3 run, maybe, and he got stopped just short of the first down marker. You know, after Boonville scored the touchdown to start the second half, Blair Oaks punts the ball, and Boonville has a chance to take the lead if they can find the end zone. But Blair Oaks defense came up with a punt, and then the offense answered with the score, and it was a 2-possession game the rest of the way. And really, just getting, you know, Boonville tried to come out with a big play to start the fourth quarter, throwing the ball downfield, and, you know, they overthrew the receiver by about 5 yards, and Zach Harrigan gets the interception and returns at 30 yards to set up a short field. So, second half, it was shaky for the first 4 minutes, but the last 20 minutes of that game was probably some of the best Blair Oaks had played all year against a state-ranked opponent, nonetheless.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's the thing that kind of stands out to me, especially as you look at it. Okay, it's a Boonville team that, yes, is state-ranked. It's a Boonville team that's going to end the season 8-3 and is going to beat a lot of people. And you put up 64 points against a team that goes 8-3 and is state-ranked. That means your offense is, you know, we've kind of been, you know, yes, they've had times where they didn't look as impressive as past seasons. That just shows you how spoiled we've been by some of their past seasons, because the fact that they're able to put up against 64 against a state-ranked opponent, I don't care who you are or what level, that's darn impressive. I mean, that's a credit to their offense.
To me, this is the difference in the game. Last year, in the week 4 matchup, you know, Blair Oaks fumbled the ball in their first possession. Now they got 3 and out and scored, but, I mean, they should have been up by 2 possessions after that score. And this one, they scored within the opening minute of the game, and now you're forcing Boonville to play catch-up.
Sure.
And I think Boonville's first possession was about a little under 5 minutes long. I mean, they really moved the ball down the field, which we haven't seen teams do that against Blair Oaks. I would argue about 80% of the touchdowns they've given up have come as a result of big plays or big plays leading up to short scores. That was Boonville's longest drive of the game, and I think that was crucial to Blair Oaks, because now your defense is out there less, and they have the opportunity to make those big plays, and your offense is, you know, out there more, and they have more confidence, and they're not in that catch-up mode.
Sure.
And to me, yeah, and I know 64 points is a lot, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, what would Boonville look like if they had DJ Weslack in that game? And people are right. I mean, if Boonville has DJ Weslack, I don't think Blair Oaks gets that many points, but at the same time, it's not like he was Boonville's defense solely. They had a lot of other key players, and Blair Oaks just did a pretty good job piling up points. To me, that's impressive that they scored 64 points and they didn't even have 400 yards of offense. That just shows that they, you know, special teams had a big impact. Defense set up short fields, and when they did have a long field, they took advantage of it.
So now the Falcons, who are 8-2 on the season, have to get refocused. You know, they're going to be traveling to number one seed in the district, Mexico. You know, we talked last week that, you know, we wouldn't have been surprised if maybe Mexico got pushed a little bit by Eldon. They did not get pushed by Eldon. It was, you know, 50-19, so they came out and took care of business last week as well. So, you know, now it's kind of all right. We weren't sure, you know, if it was going to be 1-2. It's actually 1-3 for the district, you know, as far as district seeding goes. So now we get ready for another good test for the Falcons, and you know, now it's a matter of, okay, you got to go on the road again, and you got to take care of business. It's not often we've seen this for the Falcons in district play in a while, where it's been like back-to-back weeks of road games. So, you know, they're becoming road warriors, and if they're going to win it, they're going to have to go on the road to Mexico to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd have to go back and look, but I'm pretty sure this is their first time playing for a district championship on the road since, what, 2014, when they lost to California. And by the way, I think that was the last time that Blair Oaks had played a team they lost to in the regular season, turned around, played in the postseason. They lost both times to California that year. This time they were able to beat Boonville. I'd have to go back and look. I'm kind of curious if Blair Oaks has ever, maybe South Callaway back in the late 2000s, I think they or early 2010s, where they lost them in regular season but beat them in the district game, the one that mattered most. But anyhow, moving ahead to Mexico, as you're talking about, I think that was the difference. So we talked about time of possession with Boonville, and I think that's also going to be key for Mexico, because they run the flexbone offense. They run the ball 9 out of 10 times, and they're going to try to get 4 or 5 yards every time they touch the ball and eat up the clock. And honestly, that with Blair Oaks' ability to score in no time flat, I know a lot of people say, well, that's not a big deal, because if Mexico takes 8 minutes off the clock, well, Blair Oaks can score in 2 minutes. That's true, but that, man, that's also putting the defense on the field a lot. And honestly, to beat Mexico, you will have to get stops. You can't, you know, I mean, in a game where your season's on the line, you can't afford to have a back-and-forth game and fingers crossed that you're the team with the ball at the end of the game.
So, casting no aspersions at Mexico, it to me, just on paper, and again, games aren't played on paper, they're played on the field, so that's a big difference. It's not like, you know, you look at the pedigree of the, you know, the quality of the wins they've got coming into this. This is not as impressive as the Boonville team you played a week ago, from my standpoint. Just from the standpoint of, you look at, you know, their losses were to Hannibal. Everybody's lost to Hannibal this year. They're fantastic. The loss to Kirksville is kind of an eye raiser for me, from the standpoint of that's, you know, it wasn't a great Kirksville team this year. They were decent, so that's kind of a question mark. Then you kind of look through their wins and you go, I don't know what the signature victory is. I mean, yes, they got bonus points in Class 3 District 5 for playing up, you know, playing a lot of Class 4 teams, but there weren't a lot of great Class 4 teams on that schedule. So you almost look and go, how scary does this Mexico team look to you from the standpoint of, you know, just in terms of regular season results, you know, and granted, this is the postseason, so this is all different, but is there anything that stands out to you and goes, that's their signature win, that's kind of cause for concern, because that's a really, really solid victory this season.
I think you're right. I think that's what's missing from this team is a signature win. I remember looking at their wins, and I haven't gone through it, but I don't know if they've beaten a team that's 500.
Yeah.
I know Centralia's good, but Centralia was not a great team at the start of the year. Southern Boone's not what they have been in
right.
the past.
Right.
You know, Orchard Farm, I don't know a whole lot about them. And the thing I'd argue is the NCMC was just so down this year.
Sure.
I think
right.
you and I might have talked about this before, but I think if you combine the Tri-County Conference and the NCMC, you could easily make the argument that Hannibal, by far away, is number one team in the,
sure.
between the two conferences.
Right.
But I think before you even picked another NCMC team, I
correct.
Think Hallsville
right.
and Boonville and Blair Oaks, however you want to rank them,
yeah.
would take those 2 through 4 spots. And I think that, and I don't think you can even put Mexico at 5 because they lost head to head to Kirksville.
Right.
So I think you're right. I think the difference in this game is going to come down to the fact that Mexico has played, you know, a really good team and another good team, and lost both of those games, whereas Blair Oaks has played a lot of good teams and is probably the more battle-tested team coming into this game.
Right. So I guess that's just looking at things on paper. So what about it is on the field that maybe gives you cause for concern if you're the Falcons about Mexico?
Probably the run. I mean, obviously the run defense with Mexico, they run the flex bone, which, I mean, Blair Oaks hasn't really seen that since the 2018 district title game against South Callaway. Now, they didn't give up any points. I think that was a game where South Callaway's only points came off of safety late in the game. So, but that was also the 2018 team that just was so dominant.
Sure.
The one thing Coach LePage and I were talking about is, and I asked him, I was like, you know, is that a cause for concern that you all haven't seen this offense? And he's like, and I kind of joked and said, well, I mean, you have faced the wing T five in five games this year from four teams, so it's not like you haven't seen a run first offense a lot. And he's like, honestly, I think the wing T is going to get us really prepared for this. While they're not the same offense, they both have the similar principles from the defensive perspective, whereas you have to have. You have to tackle, obviously, but the lane integrity. Like, you can't find yourself out of place. Otherwise, the offense is going to notice that, and they're going to take advantage of it and find that hole when it's available. So, I know it's not a wing T offense, but for Blair Oaks, they almost have to apply the same principles as a wing T offense. And by the way, the last time they faced a wing T offense, they shut that team out. So you never know. I'm not saying they're going to shut out Mexico, but they've got to feel. I think they're feeling pretty good about their run defense based off what we've seen the last handful of games.
On the flip side, how well equipped do you think Mexico is to slow down this Blair Oaks offense, which is, you know, looking like it's been a handful for everybody this season?
It's going to be quite interesting because they run a 3-5-3 offense, but from a lot of the video I've seen, they'll take the two outside backers and put them on the line, so it almost looks like a 5-3-3. And what they'll do is they'll put those two guys out there, and you don't know what they're going to do. They may blitz from the outside, or they may stay. I mean, they may just, you know, as soon as the ball's set, they may just stay there and take a step or two back. So you've got to be prepared for anything with those guys. You know, they've got a great defensive line. The one key in this game, and Coach LePage in the interview earlier on this podcast pointed out with Boonville, it's going to be a lot of the same with Mexico, and Mexico plays a lot of guys both ways. Mexico doesn't have a big roster. I mean, they might only have about 30 or 35 kids at most dressed out for this game.
Okay.
And we've seen as many as 9 guys play both ways for them. So, who knows if fatigue's going to be a factor because they've been doing this all year long, but they also, you know, the last time they played, when they played Hannibal, that was at least a couple of months ago. I'm not saying Blair Oaks is Hannibal, but it's the same kind of, you know, a similar talented team where they're really going to have to gear up. And it's, for a full 48 minutes, that's probably one of the arguments why Mexico needs to win the time possession battle so those guys aren't playing as much on defense. Because I would argue playing defense, when you're playing both ways, playing defense is going to wear you out a little bit more.
Well, especially playing defense against the whole Blair Oaks offense is always going to be something where you're going to be taxing yourself trying to just keep up with all the stuff that they throw at you and just the capability that they have that can be taxing for anybody. I guess, you know, we should talk about the weather a little bit. Sounds like it's going to be kind of more about, kind of a little bit more postseason football weather than it's been the last couple weeks. We've had a really nice fall. We've had some really kind of, you know, fantastic weather this fall. This gets to get a little bit cold and blustery and gets to kind of get a football feel to it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't looked too deep. I don't think there's going to be any rain. So as long as, you know, if it's in the upper 30s, low 40s, it's going to be kind of similar to what we saw last week with Boonville. Boonville might have been a few more degrees warmer, but Blair Oaks still threw the ball a number of times against Boonville. Dylan Hare had 3 passing touchdowns in the first half, and they were 3 good passes. He broke the school single-season rushing record last week. He also, and I didn't catch this until a couple days ago, he also broke the school single-season points record. So, you know, 2 more records on the board where he gets to put his name next to. And it's just going to be interesting to see what Mexico tries to do to slow him down because, we're getting to the point where he doesn't need to throw the ball more than 20 times. He's thrown it maybe 15 to 20 times in a lot of games, whereas if you look at Nolan Hare, he was throwing upwards of 30. But with Dylan's ability to run the ball and with Caden Garber in the backfield, this may be a game where we don't see the ball up in the air very often. We may just see two teams really try to see who's the better run offense.
All right, I guess that gets to the prediction point of the podcast. And how do you see this one playing out on Friday night?
Like I said, to me, it's going to come down to how many possessions are there, because if Mexico tries to get a lot of six or seven, they have the capability to make big plays, but if they try to max it out at 6 or 7 minutes per possession, I think that really kind of limits the number of times you touch the ball.
Right.
And this is a Blair Oaks team that really, I mean, I think they scored more than 40 points in 11 of their 12 games. To do that, you have to score six touchdowns.
Right.
I do think that Blair Oaks will get some stops. The question is, will Mexico get the same number of stops? And I just don't think they're, based on what I've seen them do against like Mexico, or not Mexico, based on what I've seen them do against Hannibal, I don't think they'll be able to stay with them. I think this is a game that Blair Oaks wins. I'll go on ahead and say 49-35.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.